my title today is God's Plan is Restoration. God's Plan is Restoration. And we'll be reading from the book of Acts, the third chapter, the first miracle of the church age. And we'll go from there. Let me share something humorous. This joke was approved by Pastor Mary. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious stress disorder. If you don't do the following things, your husband will surely die. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant at all times. For lunch, make a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with chores. Don't discuss your problems with him. It only makes the stress worse. No nagging. If you do this for the next 10 months to a year, I think your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "What did the doctor say to you?" "He said you're going to die," the wife said. Wasn't my idea. Pastor Candace, if you do some jokes for the women's meetings. Acts chapter 3, the church age is born in a spectacular outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The disciples are filled, the early church is filled, the church grows. In the very first Sunday, very first week, the thousands of members. And then we're given great specific detail about this next chapter for a purpose, for a reason, Acts 3:1. Peter and John were going together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Just a small observation. Often in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, the Bible will identify a person by their prolonged existing issue instead of their name. So here's a person whose pain has labeled him more than his name. He's known by his pain. He's known by his prolonged, unhealed condition. And so the Bible gives us exact. So he's over 40. He's never walked, and he's a certain man with this issue in life. It's just human nature that we as people have a tendency of identifying people by their stories, sometimes traumatic, sometimes victorious. Oh, that's, you know, the sister that had that divorce, or that's the brother who went bankrupt, or that's the person who had this thing happen. And so the more pronounced and the more longevity that those issues have, the more they have a tendency of creating a public persona and identifying feature. So this is the lame man. He's got a name, but his pain now is louder. It's a louder voice than his name. And so he's laid at the gate. So I like him. At least he's not given up. It's amazing what God can do when you have a little fight left in you. He can't do other things, but he can do something. So it's important, because no matter what you can't do, there is something you can do. He's every day going to the temple, asking alms, trying to take care of his family, trying to bring income. Who's seeing Peter and John? So he's at outside the gate, right there. They're entering into the gate. Who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms. Alms are gifts to the poor. And fixing his eyes on him, I'm coming back to that. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. I've forgotten my church checkbook. I don't have my American Express card. I don't have any cash. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I've got something better I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately the man's feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple. He did what he'd never done. He went where he'd never been. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people that saw him walking and praising God, he was well known. They knew it was the man who sat at the gate begging for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. What are those words? Is the word ecstatic, ecstasy, a displacement of the mind. In other words, a mind-blowing event. Supernatural moments create ecstasy because we were all made to experience the supernatural graces of God. When the church stops giving an expression of the supernatural, people hunt for it in other places. And so all the people were greatly amazed. They knew it was him. Just for time's sake, what happens next is Peter starts preaching, and he takes advantage of the gathering crowd, and he talks about Jesus, and he talks about the Old Testament. He does. It's a great message. Jesus, including scripture, a repentive altar call. Verse 16, though, here, he said, here's how that miracle happened. His name, Jesus, did it. There was so much power in the name of Jesus to forgive every sinner, to heal every disease, to set free every person bound. It's really true. His name, through faith in his name, has given this man, made this man strong that you see and know. So he said, here's how it happened. Faith met the name and it released a miracle. Yes, the faith that comes through him. Then he said, listen, even the faith I have, he gave me. It's all from him. He gave me faith. He gave me his name. I just put them together and out came a miracle. Yes, the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so he goes on now to move into the altar call. Verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We felt a time of refreshing. I hope you did it in our worship, the presence of God. And that he may send Jesus. Now, this is the second coming. The apostles were convinced that Christ would return in their lifetime. That he may send Jesus Christ, they were only wrong by a couple thousand years. That he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive, retain, hold back until the times of restoration of all things, until everything promised prophetically is fulfilled. The times of the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets that the world began. So there it is. God's on a timetable. God has a plan. It's called a restoration. And to God, the restoration is when something he said is fulfilled. And when things return to their original design. When Peter used the word perfect soundness, it's a phenomenal Greek word. A beautiful compound Greek word, holokaleia, and it means this, restored completely to the original design, having all its parts, complete in every part, made whole, sound. So it means returning something. So it's like when you take an old car and completely restore it to what it was when it was new. And so the name of Jesus is so powerful. It takes broken things and makes them whole. It takes things that have been deteriorated and restores their function. The name of Jesus heals my body and restores my health. The name of Jesus delivers my mind and restores my peace and sanity. The name of Jesus restores my vision and gives me hope and a promise for my future. The name of Jesus overcomes demonic powers, defeats them, and sets people free that are oppressed. There's nothing in this world the name of Jesus can't fix. Nothing. No one. Oh, someone was talking the other day, and they were talking about someone being irredeemable. I started laughing. You don't know God. You don't know what he can do. There was a guy in the Bible named Manasseh, the wickedest man that ever lived. He did things the Bible won't even give us graphic detail about because they were so horrific, a king of Israel. He ignored the prophets. They told him trouble's coming if you don't repent. And he just kept being himself and doing horrible things. The Assyrians came and defeated him, conquered him, and brought him like an animal, put a hook in his nose like an ox, and paraded him naked through Nineveh. And in prison, the wickedest man that ever lived called to God. Now, if I'm God, yeah, now. Now you want me, Mr. Big Shot King. And the Bible says when he humbled himself, Manasseh, God listened to him, brought him out of prison and made him king. You're not with me. If God can fix the wickedest person that ever lived, he can fix you, okay? He can fix your crazy relative, okay? He can fix whatever else is going on, okay? Point number one, the beautiful gate is open. Salvation has come through Jesus Christ and is available for all mankind. So the Bible says in Romans 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel is we were lost. We couldn't heal ourselves. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We couldn't forgive ourselves. God had to send his son. Before we knew him, he knew us. Before I loved him, he loved me and sent his son for me. It is the gospel to tell people Jesus came for you. He came for sinners. This is the truth, Paul said, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, of whom I'm the chief. He came to rescue sinners. I know a lot of chaos and a lot of intensity is happening in this culture. Let me just remind you, you know what sinners are good at? Sinning. Don't let someone's belief politically or socially or sexually, don't ever think God can't save them and redeem them. We don't want to get to the place where we start wishing the worst on our enemies. That's what witchcraft does. I curse you. No, okay, I bless you. Okay, Kazunite. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation, a new species of life. Old things passed away, all things become new. All things are of God, who's reconciled, restored us to God through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. A synonym, acceptable in translation, is restoration. He's given us the ministry of restoration. We're helping people get restored to God. We're helping marriages get restored to what God intended. We're helping minds get restored to what God designed them to be. We're helping identities be restored to who God created them to be. Come on. We're helping bodies get restored to God's intent for that body. The church is being restored to be glorious. Don't give up on the church. Oh, Pastor, there's so many scandals. I know. Lots of stuff being revealed. But God's up to something good. Thank you, brother. So, because of that, the Bible says in verse 19 that here's what restoration is. God was in Christ restoring the world to himself, not imputing or accounting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, word of restoration. So what does that mean? Christ died for everyone. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, preach the gospel. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every single person. He that believes will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. God doesn't weigh people's sin and send them to hell because their sins are worse. God sends people to heaven because they believe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and have received his forgiving grace. That's the only reason. He is the way, the truth, the life. So that the power of sin to keep us forever separated from God at the cross was resolved. We still have to receive that forgiveness and give our lives to Christ. Verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God was pleading through us. Be restored. We implore you, be restored to God. Ah, the imploring plead of the saved to the unsaved must be, Jesus loves you. He died for you. You can know him. You can be liberated from the burden of your sins. You can have new life, eternal life, righteousness. You can know God. We want to, listen, have you ever met a good salesman? My wife always protects me because I'm always gullible. Commercial comes on TV. Honey, I need one of those. She comes up and slaps me. No, you don't. He's just a salesman. Oh, thanks. I need it. Thanks. We want to be such good salesmen. What are you saying, Pastor? We want to be such outrageous walking billboards of the love and goodness, the grace of God, that everywhere we go, we're telling people, ambassadors telling people what God has done for them. I have a friend in town, one of the largest churches in town, and their belief system, kind of Reformed theology, they believe in predestination. I believe in predestination. They believe it a little bit more different than I do. So I was talking with him, and I said, man, we had like 300 people saved and received Christ at Easter. And he said, wow. And I didn't ask him, you know, I was just filled with joy. And he said, well, we don't do altar calls at our church. I said, what? Well, how do people get saved? Well, that belief system just believes, you know, the predestined are saved. Everyone who's not saved wasn't predestined. Now, whenever a truth is taken to an extreme, it becomes goofy truth, okay? It becomes error. So, yeah, God knows he's going to get saved. That's up to God. Our job is to invite everybody to get saved. Our job, whosoever will, God so loved the whole world. He gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever will receive him. He had an altar call that next Easter. Couldn't wait to tell me. We had like 285 people raise their hand, and he was so excited. And the simple truth is this. Yes, God knows who's going to be saved, but God uses us to be a part of that invitation to bring them to Christ. Yeah. Tell everybody you know. Tell everybody you meet. Jesus loves them, died for them, and has forgiven their sins. Okay, point number two. So Peter and John, they're about to go to church. They're about to do their prayer meeting. And they're just before they come in, the man says, alms, please. Now, Peter and John had probably walked past this man hundreds or thousands of times. So here they are. Alms, please. And the Bible says Peter turned his gaze and fixed his eyes. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you see people differently. The first two things that I see, kind of natural observations, the Holy Spirit's poured out. The first thing the Holy Spirit takes possession of was their tongue. They spoke with other tongues. You know you're spirit filled when your vocabulary changes. Okay, so they prophesied, they spoke in tongues, they preached, they did things. Holy Spirit's the second thing I see, visions and dreams, and now fixing his eyes. Their perspective changed because they're seeing through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. So this is an important point. When we see people through the Holy Spirit's eyes and heart, we will always feel his desire to bring about restoration in every area of their lives. So this man had been broken for so long, it was taken for granted. He was a part of the scenery. He was a part of the habit of life there. And so they walked past him, but that day they saw him different. You see, it's so easy. Natural eyes see what's wrong. Spiritual eyes see how God can fix it. Okay? Come on, stay with me. Because you'll look at someone who's in sin or deceived or dysfunction, and you'll make observations and you'll make certain beliefs. But those are all absent the input of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit will show you things that are inobvious. I remember when Max, little Max, got one year, he wanted a metal detector for Christmas. We got him a little metal detector, and he's out in our backyard. It's just in the desert. He found like 24 nails. So we're finding nails. The Holy Ghost is a gold detector. All we see is the dirt of their humanity or sinful condition, but buried down there is destiny gold. And the Holy Spirit will show you what is inobvious. They've never seen this man the way they're seeing him today. What do you mean, Pastor? They saw him restored. He'd never, there were things you've never done, you're about to do. They're in you, they're in your family, they're in your destiny, and God's awakening them, and God's going to help you and others see what you've been missing. A prophetic person came to our church and ministered in Scottsdale, and they called out one of our men and you know, prayed, you're going to be an apostle to the nation. I was on the front row, I started laughing out loud. The guy was having marital problems and was addicted to gambling. And a few other things. So he's a mess. I'm trying to pastor him through it all and save his marriage. And I started laughing. The Lord said, why are you laughing? And I said, because, well, you know, anyone can miss it. Prophecy is subjective. No one's perfect. And the Lord said, what if he didn't miss it? What if you know this man in the flesh and not the spirit? What if that's in him, but it's inobvious because all you see is his crazy life. But down there, there's a destiny of gold. And I need someone to call forth the gold. It'll help him overcome the dirt. Oh, the Holy Spirit will help us with sometimes we get accustomed to family members. Oh, they're this way. They've always been that way. Yeah, but let the Holy Spirit show you something different about them. Give you insight that is heaven sent. Ah, I see something. Remember when at the Eagles, that's our first church here, I hired Israel Houghton. He's 19. We hired BJ at 19, Israel Houghton at 19. I hired Israel Houghton. And our church about 1,500 people, and he's up there, and he wasn't good yet. And so I had about 150 leaders ask for a meeting. And so I come to them, and they said, Pastor, we love you. We're with you no matter what. But man, oh man, that guy here. And I said, okay, I get it. I said to them, I feel like I've seen something about who he really is. If you'll just give me 6 months, give me and him 6 months. If he's not developed, then I will find something else for him to do, and I'll repent to the church. But I think you'll be surprised. 6 Grammys later, I think there's a prize. You will be. So now here's my point. So I took a chance. My spirit saw what my eyes didn't see. God will show you all from investments to real estate, to the right people. There are women here that married a man because you saw something in him that no one else saw. And your whole family's like, what are you doing? And now he's developed into this powerful force because you believed in him. Thanks, Pastor Mary. So no matter, we want to be delivered from just being sense-governed. I was counseling someone. I said, listen, the reason why people are hypercritical it's because they're hurting. Let God show you stuff about them. I have won some critics over, some people that were fiercely angry or whatever, because instead of just talking about, I started talking with them about what's really in them. what's really in them. I'm talking today to a group of history makers and world shakers. I'm talking to the bride of Christ. I'm talking to the body of Christ. I'm talking to the army of God. I'm talking to Holy Spirit anointed Bible believing world changers that are making it. That's what I see it in you. Oh, thank you, Jim. Third point. The man, Peter fixes his eyes, says, look at us. And the man gave his attention to Peter and John, expecting to receive something. How's your expector doing? If you're not careful because of the avalanche of negativity, all you'll do is expect more bad things to happen. But in the kingdom, God reorientates us to hear his voice, to grow in faith, and to like our friend Oral Roberts, something good's about to happen to you. That's right on his desk, something good. Pastor Jeff Walker, our dear friend, was Oral Roberts' pastor for many years. Expectation, the breeding ground of the miraculous. I first said that almost 40 years ago here. Our faith in God's promises unleashes a passionate expectation into our hearts to receive those very promises. Expectation is the manifestation of spiritual honor, and it draws the anointing out of those who are ministering. I've ministered all over the world, all kinds of places, and it's not the same every place. So the higher the expectation, the higher the anointing I function in. It draws out of me. Now, God will use me any place, no matter how hard, but when there's expectation there, it's like melted butter. Whew! It flows because there's a draw. People are expecting something. I've been in services where it's American. And I got to spend half the service trying to win them over to trust me. And their expectation limited results. We want to be people with such outrageous, I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. We want to be people that have such high expectations. Come on. It's time to get your expectation back. What are you believing for the rest of this year, next 5 years? What are you believing for your family, your life, your finance, your ministry, your health, your marriage, your kids? What are you believing? You need to get your expectation going again. You need to expect every day something good's going to happen today. Yeah, so... Every day of the week, beautiful Mary sends me to the mailbox because she says, there might be a check in there. Most of the time, there's bills in there. But she, even when I hand her bills, well, it's still going to happen tomorrow. I said, yeah, it could, good. I never downplay that because it has happened. It could happen. But I love that every day she says, oh, I can't wait. Something great could be in the mailbox. Every day God's wanting us to live. Something great's in the mailbox for me from heaven. God's got something for me today. In Mark chapter 5, there's a couple great stories. One of them is of a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. A certain woman had it so long, she's now defined by her issue. She spent all of her money. Doctors couldn't help her. She was worse. When she heard of Jesus... You never know who's listening to you when you talk about Jesus. Someone was talking about Jesus and she heard it. And faith came and expectation grew. And she hunted Jesus down and he's in this crowd, this mob of people. And she came and here's what she did. She said out of her mouth, if I touch him, I'll be healed. I'll be whole. If I touch him, my body will be restored to what it was supposed to be. And she came in the mob, probably on her hands and knees, and she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus wheeled around and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, are you kidding? Everyone's touching you. He said, you don't understand. They're just touching out of curiosity. Someone made a withdrawal on my power without my permission. Can you imagine having so much expectation that Jesus wasn't even conscious of what you just took from him? Well, someone just made it withdrawal. Who did that? And she thought he was mad. He said, "Woman, great is your faith. Everyone's touching me to go home." I touched him. Everyone wants the curious touch. One woman wanted the miraculous touch. I was leaving a service a few years ago. After a three-morning service, tired, walking up the aisle, this woman jumped in front of me. She said, "Pray for me." I said, "Listen, maybe better at the altar call to have someone who's not exhausted." And she said, she grabbed my right hand. She put it on her forehead. She said, "I had a dream last night. You prayed for me and I got healed. Just pray." I go, "Yes, ma'am." She got healed. Yeah. I get like zero credit for that one, you know. I'm the reluctant guy. Grab my hand. Her expectation released something into her life. Oh, it's time to dream again. It's time to expect God to do amazing things. It's time to overcome the fearfulness of this moment of history and believe God for great things. Last point, this generation, point number four, I'm almost all done, stay with me, has been crippled by the oppression of the enemy. They've been traumatized through psychological warfare by the media. I don't know if you know that or not. There's been massive psychological abuse poured out to this culture by the media. They've been assaulted by deceiving spirits and philosophies. They've been paralyzed by the spirit of fear. They can't fix themselves. They can't heal themselves. They can't deliver themselves. Only Jesus can. Don't ever let the devil tell you, "Well, I don't have anything. I don't have Pastor Maiden's gift. Are you kidding me? You got something 1,000 times better. It's the name of Jesus." Every believer, can you imagine going to the shopping center, having a credit card from heaven, allowing you to buy any item and charge it to him? He said, "I'm giving you my name. Charge it to me. I'll take me a miracle. MasterCard. Jesus said, "My name." The disciples got it. His name. They weren't prayed up yet. They were on their way to prayer. Peter deflected all the glory. His name and faith that he gave me made that miracle possible. All those things are ready to happen in your world. Now, just a couple of points. The devil's a liar. You have to reclaim the ownership of your future belongs to God. And your participation in that process allows the fulfillment of everything he's destined for you. And so he wants to heal you. He wants to heal your family. He wants to deliver your family. There are things you've never done. He'd never walked. He walked. He'd never been in the temple. He did what he'd never done. And he went where he'd never been. That's what Jesus can do. God wants us to revisit our families. Yeah, I'm sorry your child's been away from God. I'm sorry for all the heartache they put you through. But let God give you a new perspective about them. Let God show you the hidden treasure, the buried gold, the divine providence, the destiny calling on their life. Call forth that destiny. Watch what God does. Watch what God will do when he shows you. He never shows you things he doesn't want to do. Dr. Walker, this new season you're in, you've wondered and it's been curious and uncertain. And you're open, "God, what do you want? What do you want?" And I heard the Lord laughing. It's a season of outrageous fruitfulness and joy. It's a season of restoration. So when you calculate things and measure things, there's losses of substantial weight, but you're gonna see the greatest fruitful season of your life when you see the most value multiplied over and over again by how God uses you and who God uses you to touch. God's replacing regret with revelation and joy. you're going to be so amazed. And people are going to say, man, how did all this happen? It's because you didn't quit. You fought to overcome. You bettered your... Dr. Walker is a PhD. He's a clinical psychologist. He fought to overcome things. And now watch what God's going to do. A promised land, a purposeful season, a miraculous outcome, and the best is yet to come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's been a couple of years since I've done this next thing, and I just like to. So in your row where you're seating, I'm going to ask every other person to stand up. So someone just take an algebra, take charge, and one standing, one sitting, one standing, one sitting. Okay. Now for you that are standing, I want you to turn toward a person that's sitting. And just grab the right hand, please. And you're going to declare a miracle season of restoration over their lives. By the name of Jesus. Would you say this to them? In the mighty name of Jesus, this is your beautiful day. God is restoring your life. God is renewing your strength. God is revealing your destiny. God is healing your family. The best is yet to come. God's fixing your heart and filling it with expectation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I say to you, now pull them up on your knees. Arise, now pull them to their feet. Arise. Good. Okay. Okay, just reverse roles. If you were standing, sit. If you're sitting, stand. Same thing now. If you were just sitting, it's your turn to stand. If you were standing, it's your turn to sit. You know what's going to happen, okay? So everyone that's standing now, find someone who is seated next to you. Just grab their hand and say, in the name of Jesus, your beautiful day has come. God's going to blow your mind by what he does next in your life. God's restoring things that were taken from you. God's healing things that are broken in your life and your family. The best is yet to come. God's awakening your destiny, and it's gonna show off in your story. In the name of Jesus, I say to you today, arise, pull them up. Come on, someone give God a shout of praise to the church today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It just takes, Jerusalem had tens of thousands of people in the city. It just took one person with a heavenly perspective. God didn't heal that lame man because Peter was an apostle or preacher. He healed him because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with faith. That's all God needs to do great things in our life. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Thank you for listening to me today. Prayer team, join me at the altar, please. Excited about Chris Valton being here the 28th. Both services that Sunday. Come early that Sunday. As we close the service, we always take time to pray for folks and to invite people to know Jesus. The most important thing in life is what we believe about Jesus. If you've never received him as your Savior and Lord and received the grace of the forgiveness of your sins, we'd be so deeply honored to pray for you today. If you've been away from God, make today a homecoming Sunday. If you need a healing in your body or your mind, we believe that he, by his stripes, were healed. We'd be honored to pray for you. If you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the scriptural evidence of a prayer language, we'd be honored to pray for you. If you're just going through an intense season and need someone to stand with you, let someone pray with you before you go home. Just for 60 seconds longer, church, would you worship God while folks make their way forward? Person wanting prayer receives that. If you're leaving, tell someone Jesus loves them like crazy. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome week. God bless you.